T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Merloni, Fourier, and Mega.
He's very confused about what a number one corner is.
He just is completely just essing on the wording of the question.
Well, that's what happens when
you
go.
Well, I'm trying to edit myself.
That's what it sounds like.
So he's essing all over it.
You can call it a Patriots joint practice, or you can call it a Patriots Panthers fight club.
I ain't fighting. I got 4 kids. My wife's out here. What do I look like? 36 years old. I'm not throwing no punches.
But I'm not one of those guys that are like, man, it's great to see fighting at. Like, that won't help us win any football games. Like, that's not, it's not going to do anything. But
Lou Merloni.
I've got an Acuna 99. I don't give a rat's ass. The 92 is still a good player. Yeah, but I can have an Acuna 99. I look at my whole team's all 99.
Megan Ottolini.
So, murkier and murkier. I mean, to me, I know that was kind of hard to say. Murkier.
It's Merloni, Fourier, and Mega on Boston Sports Original.
It's dope.
It's dope.
With the playmakers,
it's new,
with the balls.
It's dope.
It's beautiful. It's dope.
W-E-E-I.
Day 2, Pats Panthers joint practices. What do you say, Mago?
Dude, it's a rough start here, okay? Can we talk about this? There is something disgusting happening in the corner of the studio.
I would say,
before we get to Patriots training camp and all the wonderful guests we have.
I showered today, you guys.
No, it's not you. Oh. It is our disgusting morning show that has zero, I swear to God, like, respect. I get it. The world revolves around you guys. But every time you guys get food, which I know you do like every day, you leave it afterwards. Like the rest of the day, everyone is like so thankful that you can feed us. I don't need you to feed me.
Okay, this is
today's
food. I
eat lunch before I get here.
This is 30-hour-old spicy hummus.
Yes.
These bowls of food that are just sitting out. Like, I'm shocked that we don't have freaking roaches crawling all over it or something.
It was here yesterday, after having it yesterday, apparently, in the morning. And that's common. Like, it's every single day, whether it's pizza, soup, meatballs, pasta. Now we got, thank you, Dino.
This is,
thank you, Greek salad, hummus, there's pork. Like, it's, and it was there yesterday. We come in today, and it's still here,
uncovered,
stinking
up the studio.
I don't get it.
It's disgusting.
How did they spend 4 hours here? Were they here today?
Oh yeah, they're here.
How did you spend 4 hours and not one during any of your breaks? Say, you know what? Hey, let's take this over to the trash and actually clean up after ourselves. Or is it just everyone's supposed to do it for you?
I mean, I understand Gresh and Keefe aren't here, so like they didn't come in and clean it up after you.
They would have chucked it,
but like. No, they would have. That's why it's been sitting here for 30 hours. At least 30 hours it's been sitting there. It's disgusting.
So do I put it in the trash or do I put it in the morning show office?
At this point, I'm
because I guarantee their door's unlocked.
I wanted to throw it on this seat right here, like all over the table. But I knew the metric man would be in here after us. KJ may be late and I didn't want to do it to him. Maybe they can go to the other side. I could just bury all of it. Just dump it and spread it right where I'm sitting at 6 o'clock. They do it all the time. Like, it's disgusting.
It is so gross.
It's truly disgusting. Like, guys, you don't need to feed us. Like, we're all grown-ups.
Or leave it in the kitchen.
Yeah, 4 hours later.
There's a freaking kitchen.
It ain't going to look good 4 hours later just sitting out.
There's a kitchen 20 feet down the hallway.
You guys
are pigs.
It's
right there.
Great. Was Coco in today?
No, Coco's been out with.
She's got the COVID?
She's been sick all week. Everybody's sick.
Oh, Jesus, she's got the flu. I don't know what she's got. She got the flu?
I think she has COVID.
She's got something going on. I don't want to be that guy. So she's not here. Not that she was going to clean up, because we've seen it before with her here. They all just leave their crap wherever. Like, we're doing you a favor. Hey, at 11 o'clock, you might want a snack that's been sitting there, you know, for like 10, 12 hours.
An army of people that work on that show. Take one of the 9 junior producers you have doing stuff.
Five
people. And tell them to walk it down to the flipping kitchen.
They got 5 people on air and like 4 producers. Like, someone come in here with a trash bag and clean up your crap.
Greek yogurt sitting out. It's rotting in the corner of the studio.
Oh, my God.
Christian would lose his mind if he was here. Christian's back tomorrow. He remains on vacation.
He would.
So we do have Kyrie Thompson.
Yes.
Joining us, a Patriots writer for WEEI.com. He's going to join us from 4 to 6, and we have Alex Cora, of course, at 2:30.
Some socks.
And at 3 o'clock, we have Doug Kide from PFF. He's going to be calling in from Patriots camp, where he's been for several days now.
So we got a lot going on, and I don't know, maybe this place will turn into a fight club, but we don't see each other.
Do you want me to get one of my MMA guys on?
Yeah, maybe we could do something. I don't know. Have somebody come in here in the morning and clean up after
John them. Morgan.
Yeah, but anyways, like I said, it could be a fight club. Who knows? We never see each other. But it was definitely another day of Fight Club down at camp. What is going on?
Absolutely crazy.
Like, after day one, didn't you think they would, like, okay, day two, let's control the emotions, let's come out here. Next thing you know, we got what? One big brawl and 2 or 3 other skirmishes. Great.
So it absolutely sounds like the Panthers were the instigators in a lot of the instances down there today. Yeah. Like, that they have been stirring it up. I mean, I think the first thing was the hit on, or whatever injury Christian Wilkerson had. Some of the Panthers players were reportedly, like, mocking him.
Yeah, it was special teams.
He had a head injury that I think has sent him to the hospital. I mean, like, what is that sportsmanship down there? That's, like, base-level stuff.
So then we got a real big fight. I guess apparently 11-11 is the first play of drills. So I actually saw the video of it. McCaffrey kind of runs to the left, and Dietrich Wise kind of just sent him tumbling out of bounds. Honestly, I don't even think it would have been, like, a penalty flag.
Mm-mm.
I don't think he was out of bounds, but, you know, maybe in these drills, you show up first one, you're going out of bounds, you don't think you're going to get hit. I don't think it was a late hit. It wouldn't have been a flag on the field.
Well, it's because it's Christian McCaffrey.
Yep.
He's the star. Don't even touch him. Don't even look at him.
Yep.
You know, we're mocking your guy who's on the ground with a head injury and then being transported to the hospital. But heaven forbid you lay a hand on Christian Wilkerson in football practice.
Yeah, so McCaffrey lands, gets it up, throws the ball at the Patriots. Next thing you know, we got another fight. Dietrich Wise was pissed off, so it ended up being Dietrich Wise gets tossed. Now, again, 11-11, first play of the drills, Dietrich Wise is tossed. Robinson, the corner, the guy that got tossed yesterday.
I think the
rookie. He got tossed yesterday early on with Wilkerson, too, I think. The two of them got tossed. He gets tossed again, and that running back, was it Chuba Hubbard? Chuba Hubbard, same guy. All three of them tossed right out of the gate. Boom,
oh, and by the way, Dietrich Wise, I believe he landed on a woman who is in the stands as a fan. And so the Patriots sent EMS over to check on her, and she refused medical attention. I guess she was okay. She didn't
Good
have any,
her.
Like, straight-up injuries or anything.
Good
but
for her.
The video of it is absolutely crazy. Like, you thought that yesterday's video of, you know, like, 100 guys out there brawling looked crazy. This one, it spills over into the fans.
Yeah.
And people are screaming and
Beautiful.
Whistles are blowing. It's
Beautiful.
Nuts.
How about Matthew Slater? He's the old vet. Some of these old vets. Can we do have Matthew Slater sound on just the fight itself and his reaction? Just love the guy.
Kind of mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I got a teammate down on the field who's now being medically evaluated off site. I mean, that's cause for concern. And I mean, we're not going to sit here and celebrate those type of plays. That's not how you do it.
It looked like you went over to their sideline and just sort of put your hands up. Just sort of, we're asking for something.
Yeah, I mean, look, I ain't fighting. I got 4 kids. My wife's out here. What do I look like? I'm 36 years old. I'm not throwing no punches. Like, but again, like, when you have a teammate who is hit, he's down. There's clear symptoms of what has happened to him. We all know what they look like as football players. He's demonstrating those symptoms, and then you have players celebrating that act. I take an issue with that, and I don't have a problem saying that.
I do love, first off, I love him. I think he's fantastic. But, you know, sometimes you got, like, the real world in sports. He's like,
right.
Man, listen, I'm 36.
My kids are here.
Yeah, but if you weren't, like, a professional athlete, like, I feel like some 36-year-olds are like, they don't say that until, like, they're my age, right? Listen, I'm 50. Like, I got kids. I'm not getting in fights. I'm married. I'm not, but at 36, like, in football, it's really old. But there's plenty of 36-year-olds that are like, dude, I got in 4 fights this weekend. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Like, a couple 30-somethings
like
who are going
at 20s.
Out.
20s, you know, is prime fighting
your
age.
Your buddy who's having maybe a later wedding in his 30s, and you go out on a bachelor trip. Like, those guys are, like, amped.
Oh, my, my buddies that were like fighters, they didn't start saying that until they're probably in their mid-40s.
Yeah, they're like, oh, my back, I slipped a disc.
I'm not
going to
get
into this
fight anymore. But at 36, they're like, hey, whatever. But I love it. I got four kids out there, my wife. I'm not going to get into a fight. I guess it was Andrew Callahan, Jalen Mills on the fight. It's definitely something we don't want. It's not competitive football. How do you feel about the fights in general?
At this point, it's totally ridiculous. And at some extent,
but is it something,
I understand.
Are you one of those, like,
backing,
I like it? I like it?
I do, usually.
Are you hardcore?
I do usually, like, to an extent. I like the galvanization around a fight. Like, it brings, when it's another team, not when it's within your own team.
Yeah.
But at this point, we hear all the time about how these are the most valuable days in the summer for football players. These joint practices, preseason games, you know, that's not even, none of that even really matters for the starters. For the starters, it's all about joint practices. And now it's like, you got starters getting thrown out, getting ejected. You got, like, it's just a complete distraction at this point. I feel like it's taking away from what should be really productive days for you.
But I could totally see it. You know, you've got stars like Christian McCaffrey that are out, they're out here trying to just stay healthy, get their work in, and just walk home after practice and be like, I'm ready to go.
No, another guy to the hospital.
No, I get it. But then there's other guys that are, like, literally, and you know, using the term as far as sports go, feel like they're fighting for their lives. Right? In a sport,
this is the Dietrich Wise fight.
Like, in a sport where they're like, they're trying to, show who they are aggressively. They feel like if they can't get manhandled, they have to go out there and show they belong in this league. So there's that edge that they have, and maybe some stars that don't quite have that edge in this practice, even though they should. But, you know, mentally, you're not. It's not opening day. But to the young kids, it is opening day. So maybe you got a couple guys working on a slightly different speed. And things like this happen all the time. I mean, it's happened. This is ridiculous. I've never remember a joint practice like these last 2 days.
These many all-out brawls. Like, it's crazy. I do feel like it stems a lot from the Panthers and whatever chippiness they're bringing into practice. It sounded like it started from the jump today, that they came out of the gate chippy.
From the jump.
And we're just, like, you know, talking crap to each other all throughout practice and everything. And it's like, after yesterday, when you're having the coaches pull guys aside and being like, hey, cool down. We're not trying to kick you out of practice. We're trying to get something done here.
Yeah.
And then you come back today out of the gate. I think there's a lot of frustration down with that Panthers team right now, that Carolina team,
and
that it's
from
bringing over into, well, yeah, but I think it's a little bit of, like, they don't respect us. We're going to come in here as tough guys and everything.
That's how it works. All right, so there was a fight, but how did everybody look? How'd the quarterback look? Mac Jones, he spoke after practice. You'll hear what he had to say next. Alex Cora, by the way, bottom of the hour, 2:30. Red Sox take down Pittsburgh. They've won 4 of 5. Get his thoughts on where this team is right now. We'll do that at 2:30, but come up next, you'll hear Mac Jones post-practice.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
How much are the fights affecting productivity during practice?
Yeah, I think everyone's competitive, and sometimes that's how it gets. Sorry. sometimes that's how it gets out here. And the big thing is it's football, and we're here to practice and try and have a good day. And the coaches handled it properly, just calling up the teams. And Coach Belichick obviously gave us good advice about just playing the next play and play football and don't worry about fighting other people and stuff like that. Just come together and get the good work in that we need to get against a good team.
That's Mac Jones post-game talking about some of the fisticuffs.
He's giggling like the Pillsbury Doughboy. Yeah, like he's having his tummy tickled during that availability.
Yeah, it's like a nurse's giggle, right? But I almost feel like, you know, like Belichick's giving us good advice to stay away from that stuff and just get our work in. Same advice I'm sure he gave yesterday, right? Like after the practice, and it just came out today and still didn't really take the advice, I guess.
Look, there's no benefit to these fights, right? Can we agree on that?
No, there's none at all.
There's no benefits. It's just absolutely ridiculous waste of time. Bunch of fake tough guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Real quick, so Mac Jones did speak again. We're going to talk to Alex Cora in about 8 minutes. I want to play a couple more parts from Mac. Looking at Mark Daniels, by the way, he says Mac Jones, 11 for 15, finished practice with a nice touchdown throw to Devontae Parker, hearing his name a lot, and a two-point conversion to Ty Montgomery, who seems to be getting a lot of work in that third down running back. He says there's some communication for the offense in a two-minute drill, but they finished strong. Here is Mac Jones. We talk about installing some things that are a little bit new. I think they asked him, do you feel like you're past just sort of like the installation part right now?
Yeah, I think we could, you know, we're not trying to come out here and scheme everything up, like you said. So a lot of it's just executing our core plays. And when we get to that point, we'll get to that point. But right now it's just doing everything we can to, all right, this is my read. I'm going to throw it to the first read. If he's open, if he's not, I'm going to move on. So, you know, there's a lot of scheme in the NFL. And sometimes you want to just come out and see how things look, too. It's not just always going to be your best play against that best coverage or whatever it is. So, I think, like I said, the guys are making the plays, which is important, and they all know that they can get the ball in any play, and the offensive line did a really good job protecting me. Obviously, there's no contact in practice, but I do feel very comfortable back there, and we just need to continue to grow in that area.
It's interesting to me he brings up the offensive line, apropos of nothing.
I mean, it's
about the installation, and then he jumps out of, you know, at the end and says, oh, the offensive line is doing such a good job. By the way, nobody can really touch me during this practice. Like, protecting you from what? I guess protecting you from the scenario that you would be in if they could. But it's like,
well, good job protecting me, you know. And like you said, no contact, whatever. But that has been one of the takeaways, is that there's no holes at all for any of the running backs. Like, an offensive line has been, from day one, kind of an issue. You know, early on in camp, 7-on-7s, they look like they're fine. All of a sudden, now it's 11-on-11, and the offensive line's getting dominated. Mac's got no time to throw. Now he seems like he's getting a little bit more time to throw, so I think that's probably the upgrade that maybe he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the running backs still aren't, and you have two good running backs. They're not exactly finding too many holes. I want to also play him talking about Patricia. We all know yesterday he called all the plays. Today, again, by the way, calling all the plays. So how has that communication of the play calling with Matt Patricia gone?
You mentioned something about the importance between the play caller and quarterback. How has that been going with Matt? It looks like it's Matt who's kind of relaying the signals to you out here in practice.
Yeah, I think it's good. I know Matt's called a lot of plays in the NFL, so he has really good experience you know, Coach Judge has good experience, and obviously Coach Belichick does too. So whoever's calling it, it's our job to execute. And, yeah, I think the communication's been really good, even with assistant coaches and their position groups. You can tell that it's not just a one-headed monster. It's a lot of different guys, you know, coming together. Hey, what did you see on this? The wide receiver coaches are like, hey, let's try this. And there's a lot more conversation, which is really a good thing because, you know, sometimes you don't want to just come down from one person. It's good to get everyone's input and make sure that we're all on the same page.
Okay. So I love that.
How's Patricia?
How's Patricia? Also, Coach Joe Judge is really good. Yep. Coach Bill Belichick is really good. Yep. Everybody's good. It's not just a one-headed monster, mm-hmm. you know, this play calling thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everybody's really good.
Doesn't it feel like the most important thing is to keep up the shell game?
Yeah.
Hey, whatever you do, don't implicate that Matt Patricia is the only play caller by any means.
They are going to ask you about it. Yeah, they are going to ask you about it. When they do, if they ask you about Patricia, you make sure you mention me. You make sure you mention Joe. You make sure you mention everybody. And everybody, that's it. Wait, do we have Alex on the line now? We're going to go to
him
now?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's go to him. Let's go to Alex Cora right now. Alex Cora interview here on a Wednesday is brought to you by Arbella Insurance. And joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex, it's Lou and Mago. How the hell are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, doing good. Beautiful PNC Park. Beautiful day. A few guys hitting outside, so it's a good day so far.
No, we're stuck in a basement in Brighton.
Pretty much.
So that's where we are.
Old food left from our other shows.
Are you guys at the stadium or what?
No. Only home games, Alex. Only there for half the season.
Okay.
So a little bit nicer for you to kind of write these lineup cards and throw a guy like Walk in a rotation, seeing some guys come back. That's going to be a lot nicer for you there pregame.
Yes. I know Jalen and Yolmer, they did a good job, but getting Kike back. Ref Snyder back. He's important too. It just gives you more options, more versatility. We can be aggressive if we want to, pinch hitting wise early in the game. And, having Nate back and Michael on Sunday. We talk about the walks and not throwing strikes for a while there, but we lost two of our best, right? Nate and Michael for a long period of time. And what he did on Sunday, it was impressive, and it was great for us, right? 2 hours and 20 minutes, get in, get out, and win a ball game.
No, he was fantastic. Now, listen, I know you pay attention to the scoreboard. You look around. You guys have won 4 or 5. You see who's in front of you. I know your job is to win every single night, and that's probably what you're focused on. But off the field when you're home, do you have a number in your mind? We got to get to 87 wins. We got to get to 88, 86. Do you allow yourself to do that?
It's we always shoot for 93, right? I think that's the goal standard. I mean, it's not the standard, right? It's what you shoot for. If you win 93 on a yearly basis, you get a shot, right? But with this extra wild card now, and obviously you see the teams, you know, they get hot, and now some of them are struggling. I don't even know, Lou. I mean, 85, 86, just what we got to do is when we get to September – you know, just jump ahead of a few teams. The Central is a battle right now, right? Minnesota, the White Sox are hot right now, and the Indians have been playing solid. So somehow, you know, just keep winning games. Make it a 2 or 3-team race, right? When there's a lot of teams, obviously, yeah, we're still in a hunt, but, you know, this team wins, the other one loses. It's like too many teams that you're rooting for and against two, and at the end, you know, you gain a half a game. But we get a chance here, you know, to win the series tonight. We got Baltimore over the weekend, so that'll be huge for us. We know we got Toronto, we got Tampa. So, we will play the East. And these teams, they've been solid against us throughout the season. We beat Baltimore the other day. We beat New York 2 out of 3. So hopefully we can continue to play good baseball. And at the end of the season, we'll be there.
Now that Kike is back, what do you see Duran's role being going forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to make some match, and we got to take care of Kike first, right, as far as, like, his workload. He's actually playing center field today. He might get the day off tomorrow. Jaron will play, you know, and that's something that we talk about it. There's a reason he's here, and then the days that he doesn't play, he can pinch run, he can pinch hit late in the game, so... It's a more functional roster than a few months ago and probably a few weeks ago. And we're very pleased with who we have now, and hopefully this is the beginning of something great, right? It's what, 4 out of 5 or whatever it is, but pitching well, playing better defense, and offensively I think we're going
to
be okay.
So talking to Alex Cora. Alex, before I want to talk to you about some of these guys in that bullpen. Before I do that, I just want to get an update on Tanner Houck. I mean, is there a big day coming up where you'll determine whether you'll have him the rest of the year or how long away?
Next week, he went to see a doctor, and he's going to, you know, get treatment the whole week, and next week he's going to see him again on Monday. I think we get an off day, right? And we'll go from there. Obviously, he's made some strides, but at the same time, you know, it's not only about, you know, what he can do this year. It's about what can happen in the future, you know, and we have to take care of the player. He's very important for us, you know, as a whole. So we just got to be patient. So we'll know more next week about Tanner.
With that said, how good was it to see Matt Barnes last night? That was the best he looked maybe in over a year, last few outings. He 96, 97, that curveball probably having the shape that you're kind of looking for, right?
Yeah, he threw one yesterday with two strikes that it looked like a fastball, and boom, it dropped, right? And that's what we're looking for. I think the fastball is the most important pitch for Barnes. He obviously, being around the plate is huge for him, and you know, he had some good ones last week. There was one there that he had 0-2 count and two outs. We ended up walking a guy, and then they hit a double. I think it was against Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken, and they score a run. But besides that one, he's been solid for us, and yesterday was important. You know, he was solid for us, and you know, now we, you know, as you can see, you know, with Schreiber, we got to be careful. You know, we get into you know, the workload is being a lot, especially the last 3 weeks, so having Matty throwing the ball the way he's throwing it, Brazier threw the ball well against the Yankees. So we have options, and hopefully they continue keep doing this. You saw what happened last year towards the end with Hansel and with Brazier. They were amazing. So hopefully Barnsey and the other guys, they can do the same thing and help out.
You mentioned Schreiber real quick because I know a lot of fans – listen, you can help me out here because on Twitter I get it all the time. Why don't you just use Whitlock and Schreiber like every possible night if you possibly can? So how important is it to fight that? You know, you want to use them every night, but to get where you want to get to, you also need them at the end of September, right, not wear them out?
100%. And yesterday was the perfect example, right? He came in, got the strikeout, they hit the triple, he gets the out. And we took him out of the game. Somebody else needs to come in and finish the game, and it was Matt Barnes. So that was an important night for us because, like you said, we cannot only rely on Whitlock and Shriver. And we had some capable guys. Sawa the other day against the Yankees, you saw it. He was throwing 98 with a 96-mile-per-hour split. So we got good arms. It's just about executing, avoid the walks. And if we do that, I think, you know, this will happen. You know, we got to – hopefully we can get Familia in the game, see where we are with him. But we feel very comfortable with the guys that we have back there.
Alex, was Xander, you know, taking that foul ball off his shin and sitting out last night? Do you envision him being back? Do you expect him to be back in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, he's in the lineup. He's playing short. Keegan is playing center. And the rest, Reese is catching. So everybody's out there tonight. And it should be hopefully a better night offensively. I know we scored a lot of runs early in the game yesterday, but we didn't do much the last 7. So, you know, better approach, you know, stay in the zone and put good at-bats. That'll be great for us tonight.
Talking to Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, and Alex, Whitlock has been fantastic for you, especially recently. And I'm curious, I know there's a lot of discussions been going on early, even in April. When you look back at it, I know hindsight's 20/20. Do you think, does the organization regret moving Whitlock to the rotation?
No, I think if you go back to that week, and everybody can talk about Toronto, but it was actually something that happened with Rich Hill. You know, we needed a starter in Toronto, and he was the guy. And he started that game, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. He went, what, 3 or 4 innings scoreless. And then after that, it was kind of like, this is the guy we extended, so let's keep rolling with him. And as you know, as a starter, when you go 6, you're going to give up 1 or 2, right? And he had a tough one against Seattle, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, overall, he was a solid starter for us. Obviously, as a reliever, it's a small sample size, and it's 1 inning, 2 innings. And he's been – it's a different way of attacking guys. But we don't regret that, you know. We're happy that he's back and he's healthy and he can help us out of the bullpen. And we still got a month and a half, and he's going to help us out.
You mentioned Reese McGuire in the lineup tonight. How have you seen him embrace the challenge of coming in as a catcher at this point in the season?
Yeah, it's not easy, but between Plow and Jason, the captain, they've been great with him, just relaying information. That's the most important thing. Sometimes, for example, with Schreiber, right? He has the two-seamer, the four-seamer, and the slider. When we go with the four-seamer, when we go to two-seamer against the lefties. Same thing with Witt, you know, when we go inside against righties, when we stay outside against the righties, and between those two, you know, Jason, he's been amazing. He's been great for not only for Reese game planning wise, but for him to you know, get with the program. You know, we do a few things differently than other teams, and obviously other teams do things differently than us. And I think Reese has done an amazing job since he got here.
Yo, Alex, I want to ask you about JD Martinez. You know, I think, you know, still a good hitter earlier in the year, right? He's still a major league hitter. We know that. But I know he's been struggling recently. One home run, I think, since June 14th. So what are you seeing from him? Are you seeing something maybe positive thinking he's coming out of this?
The two walks yesterday, that was huge for him, right? He needs to get back to control the strike zone. He's around the baseball. That's one of the things that he has recognized. And although he's been working at it, but when he goes to the game, he hasn't translated. And you can see the swings. When he swings and misses, that tough hand is taking over. He's not actually staying through the ball. So, you know, hopefully at one point here, he finds it. As you know, Lou, those three guys, Xander, Rafi, and JD, they will hit. You know, we mm-hmm. still got plenty of games, and they will hit. It's just a matter, you know, hopefully it's in this road trip, you know, get them going, get hot, carry the offense for a while, and keep getting W's.
What do you got on Trevor Story? How's he doing?
Trevor is actually swinging today in the cage. He's swinging tomorrow in the cage. Then I think Friday's off, and he'll hit outside on Saturday.
So I know there's a lot of chaos around the trade deadline, you know, whether it's Vasquez leaving, guys coming in. Do you feel like these guys walking in the locker room, do you sense a different feeling in that locker room? Like we've got some guys back. Let's see what we can do here and make it to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, and we talked about it last week, right? We mm-hmm. played well in Houston, not great in Kansas City. It was a good series against Atlanta. You know, we lost two games, but it was actually good. You know, a lot of energy and two good baseball games. And then against the Yankees, we were solid. So the effort is there. Obviously, preparation and all that stuff, it's been great. And getting Kike back, Ref back. I think Michael was very important for us, pitching-wise, you know, and what he did on Sunday. You know, I was looking at, like, in the fourth or fifth inning, they had the numbers up there, his ERA and his whip and all that. I'm like, wow, you know, that's ace-like, right, what he was doing early in the season. And to have him back is huge for us. And, you know, we know where we're at. We look around, and, you know, there's a lot of teams that are playing well. Others are struggling. But we do believe, you know, we control our own destiny. At the end, you know, we got Baltimore, we got Toronto, we got the Rays. And although we struggled with them early on in the season, you know, we beat the Yankees 2-3. That was a huge step, and hopefully we can continue playing good baseball against the A's and make this happen.
All right, Alex, appreciate the time. Good luck in Pittsburgh and then on to Baltimore. We'll talk to you and catch base next week.
Be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, there
thanks,
you go.
Alex.
He's Alex Cora. By the way, Alex Cora has been brought to you by Shaw's, the official supermarket of the WEI Red Sox Network. It's interesting because I was saying the other day, I'll go back to him saying he has no clue, like the win total, right? And I know they're so stuck in a day-to-day battle mm-hmm. that it's like, we got to win tonight. You know, Hill's on the mound, Winkowski, how do we win tonight? But then he drops like, I don't know. Like, nobody, like 85, 86, usually it's like 90. But with the six team, it's...
Well, he said it's usually 93.
93, yeah, it's like
for.
You get to 93, usually in.
Mm-hmm.
But now with all the wild cards, it's like...
You have three wild cards.
There will be a 93-win team, I believe, or a 92-win mm-hmm. team. You know, I mean, the top wild card will probably win 90 because somebody will take off. Somebody will win, I think, 30 and 15 the rest of the way. I think they need 88 wins.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be 85. You know, like 30
to
and
get 50, them into that third spot.
I have no idea. 86. I find it hard to believe 85 gets you in. Like 85 wins. I mean, 27 and... And 20?
So right now you're looking at Seattle and Tampa. Those are the two teams that are locking up those first two wild cards. And then you've got Toronto, Baltimore, Minnesota, and Chicago all sitting between the Red Sox in an easy spot. You have to believe that one of these teams is going to fall off. You can't.
Well, especially I'm sorry. The O's over the weekend.
Right, you need four of them. You need four teams to fall off.
Okay, so is it crazy to expect that Baltimore, Minnesota, and Chicago falls off, and then maybe you get lucky with either Tampa or Toronto? I don't think that's an insane thought to have, that those teams will fall off, that they might have been playing above their head while the Red Sox were really, really struggling.
I'm just saying, in this scenario, you realize how difficult it is to jump as many teams. Like he said, you got to get it down to like two teams to jump. Because like he said, you know, you go 2-0. Some team goes 1-1. You picked up a game. You're going to lose another game eventually, mm-hmm. right? Now you drop the next one. Now all of a sudden, you're right back to four and a half games. And then you win three in a row, but another team wins three in a row. Somebody wins 1-2. You drop a game. You know, and it's just, the reality is, it's so hard. You need two teams to absolutely tank and get the hell out of the way. It is remarkably hard to pass three or four teams in the standings.
Well, it feels likely, and I say this as a native of the area, feels likely that that will be the Orioles for you, and you can make a little progress over the weekend.
You would hope, and one of the teams
but
in the Central.
But between Tampa and Toronto.
Which, like, you have three game sets with both those teams at home next week.
My thing with this team is anytime that it doesn't seem easy when they go through it, like June, easy. And they looked great. July, the test came with seeing Tampa and the Yankees twice, two different series. And they just completely floundered. And then it's like, it's a little easy again right now. I mean, not completely easy, but they get an easy start against Pittsburgh, against the Pirates. And it's like, okay, then the, you know, bats cool off late and they're having bad at-bats. The offense is slipping through as the game goes on, but they got a strong start, so it's easy, and it's easy to take a series against the Pirates. It's probably going to be fairly easy to win a series against the Orioles, but once you see a little bit of rough stuff again, like, are they just going to fall apart?
That's the thing, and we'll get into it more. I want to get into it more, because I want to ask you, Red Sox fans, by the way, Doug Kye at Pro Football Focus, he's going to join us at 3 o'clock, get his take on what he saw down at joint practice, but when we come back, do you think this team can still make it? More bodies are coming back healthy. Do they have enough time? Can they pass the teams in front of them and make the playoffs? 617-779-7937. Because I watch baseball at night. I watch all the games. And I'm starting to get confused to who I'm rooting for. We'll do it next.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
And Alex Whitlock has been fantastic for you, especially recently. And I'm curious. I know there's a lot of discussions been going on early even in.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
April, when you look back at it, I know hindsight's 20/20. Do you think, does the organization regret moving Whitlock to the rotation?
No. I think if you go back to that week, and everybody can talk about Toronto, but it was actually something that happened with Rich Hill. You know, we needed a starter in Toronto, and he was the guy. We don't regret that. You know, we're happy that he's back and he's healthy, and he can help us out of the bullpen. And we still got a month and a half, and he's going to help us out.
It's Alex Cora talking about arguably the most controversial move,
Playing nice.
Of the season with this organization.
He's playing nice with the organization.
And I don't believe him.
No. It all goes back to Toronto.
Well, here's the thing.
For that series, the series after, never switch him back.
That's
ever.
What I mean. Like Rich Hill's father passed away. He left the team. Kind of put him in how and Whitlock need to be in the rotation. We're sort of stuck. I get it. You come out of Toronto, as you put it. Put him right back in the bullpen. Like Tanner Houck, he just missed a series. Okay, pick a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whichever day. He starts, Whitlock's back in there. And I think you could look at that. I mean, when you start talking about five games back, I remember back in like June being like, there's five games lost easily. And that was like end of May. Easily five games lost.
Red Sox were moving Whitlock up the pack and blown saves at one point.
Easily. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, you know, then you talk about like how many other games were lost by not doing this move or that move or this move. And you're five games out. Whatever it is, right? Five, 4.5 on whatever it is.
Four games out, yeah.
Yeah, lost column. It's mainly like 5, right? But it's the most controversial move of the season. I think analytics made that call. I don't believe the guy we just talked to did. I think they said our best pitcher needs to throw 150 innings, not 70. I think the manager will tell you that those 70 might be more important because I can go get a guy, call him up from AAA. They had 4 of them at the time. We've seen all of them. One of those guys can go give me what Whitlock did. 3, 4, 5 innings, 2, 3 runs.
Especially when you're going through the second consecutive season of limping around with the bullpen. Like that, it's been a constant problem. So it's not anything new. Like, I don't know. I don't understand it. I think he's playing nice there, I would assume. So, you know, tell you what, it is what it is. At least you could take from it that Alex Cora remains on good terms with everyone.
Yeah.
Because he's saying the right thing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's even more frustrating watching the Yankee series. And, you know, I know they're not playing good baseball. And by the way, when I said I'm confused about who I want to win, they're the one team you want to win every night. Mm-hmm. You want the Yankees to win every single night, except when they play you, but win every night. And they can't beat anybody.
They haven't been
doing that. Yeah, what is happening?
They suck. Like, and I absolutely love it. Yankee fans, you're losing your minds. You're booing your team. Aaron Hicks blows. The entire closer was broken by Verdugo. Like, the team is an absolute train wreck. It is beautiful. But you need them to beat the Rays and the Blue Jays and the Orioles. And they can't beat anybody right now, and it's killing you.
Can I have a squirrel moment
here
in honor of Christian? Because I just was bringing this up to you during break, and it's a lot grosser as this story goes on. So Alex Speer wrote this story about Kike Hernandez's traumatizing injury, is what he called.
Oh, he had a great quote to Alex Speer, too.
Apparently, so he had this ab injury. Okay, I'm going to keep it simple, ab injury. He was listed with a hip injury, and then it ended up being a core injury. He had a hematoma.
A hematoma,
which he described as a ball of blood, the size of a baseball, that was sitting in his lower spine, muscle that ran through the pelvis and the thigh. And so apparently this is what they had to do. He said it was one of the most traumatizing experiences he's ever been through. So Alex Speer wrote, the hematoma had to be drained with a lengthy needle inserted through his back. He said that he passed out at least twice during the procedure.
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
That is wildly graphic.
Like, that makes me faint to read.
Oh, my God.
After we got done, the doctor told me they usually put people under for this. He said, I told the doctor that they usually tell people that before the procedure.
Holy
smokes.
Like,
seriously, what is this sadist doctor? He's not putting him under. He's draining a baseball full of blood
baseball
out of his
size
body
full of blood.
With like this long ass needle or something out of his lower spine. Like, that's disgusting.
So he said he passed out during it. Like, was there a thought of maybe putting him under?
Passed out at least twice.
Like, is there a thought of just
the first time? Hey, maybe we should pause this. Yeah, put him under.
Knock
this guy's
my
not doing
ass
well.
Out.
Nope. Nurse, get
if
the smelling salt, that. Please.
Knock me out if you got to do that. But that's the thing. It's like you see Kike back and Bogey will be back in there today. You know, Strom, I guess, from what I understand, looked outstanding in his rehab. Thank God, because Austin Davis sucks.
Oh, I was going to say, he's been really good, right?
Darwinson blows. Like, it would be one of those things where it's like, listen, forget the lefty-righty thing. Don't bring them in until Strom comes back, and hopefully he's like he was early in the year. But you get how frustrated. I get so pissed winning 4 or 5 and seeing, like, you know, Story possibly coming back, you know, and Whitlock where he should be, and Waka is back, and Eovaldi is back, and all these guys are back, you know, and you got Pham, and you got Hosmer, who isn't great, but it's amazing how much I appreciate looking at a first baseman that won't lose a game for me.
He's a professional first baseman.
Yeah, but just don't lose a game for me. Like, you never really say that for first basemen. Don't lose the game for me. Just catch the ball.
That's like the twilight position in baseball, isn't it? Okay, listen, you've had a great career at third. You're not as mobile as you used to be. The knees don't bend. You don't get the same extension. Listen, we're going to put you at first base for your twilight. Right. You know, the last two seasons.
Kike will be in center.
Ooh, don't say twilight around this team.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a trigger
David
word.
Ortiz played first base.
Yeah, and you look at it and you're like, good God, man. End of June, 4 fifth-year rotation to rookies. I was laughing. It was like, you know, after the All-Star break, they came out to play Toronto and they had to prove it. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at that lineup and, like, remember Devers was hurt, JD was hurt, and it was Duran, Vasquez, Bogarts, Verdugo.
Mm-hmm.
Franchi hit 5th, Dalbec hit 6th, Jackie hit 7th, Yolmer Sanchez 8th, and Jeter Downs hit 9th. Plawecki pinch hit for Jeter Downs late. Plawecki. And I'm thinking, that was the time when we were trying, the GM was up there in the booth saying, okay, prove me you're worthy of investing in. That team? That team's an awful baseball team. That team couldn't beat anybody.
You shouldn't invest in that team.
That team shouldn't beat anyone. They shouldn't beat anyone, that team. And it's like, you couldn't have got Pham in July 1st. You couldn't have got Pham in June.
Yeah.
From Cincinnati for a player to be named later. Or cash, like you end up getting them for. How about like a 35th best prospect? You couldn't have got Pham when you realized Duran was running circles in a tent out there in center field and couldn't hit and look like Jackie and hit Jackie looking like Jackie. And you couldn't get Pham in June? Or Hosmer?
So do we think they have a chance now? With this schedule being what it is, you should sweep the hodgepodge of nothingness. I'm not calling them the Pirates anymore. They're the hodgepodge of nothingness. You have Baltimore coming up. I think they're about to fall off. And then you have a very important series next
week.
As
we determined
yesterday,
Ryan. Baltimore
and Tampa. Can you give me 4-2?
I like to set the bar low.
Yeah.
So you're never disappointed.
So you're never disappointed.
I would say no. A texter says, you know, the Blue Jays are currently third wild card. They're on pace for 86 wins, their current pace. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, your current pace is on pace for 80 wins. So someone's going to pick up you're the only team that's going to pick up the pace. See, in September, somebody always gets hot. Seattle's going to make the playoffs, in my opinion. Someone gets hot. Like Cleveland will get hot, or Chicago will get hot, or Minnesota will get hot. You know, Tampa might right the ship. I still think Toronto's a really good baseball team. So that's why I still say 30-15. It's not easy to do. But I think 88 wins is the number.
I think they have dug themselves too deep a hole.
You got to get
hot. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't want to be like a complete downer. I think it's.
You can go like an 8-2 stretch, right? And all of a sudden, you're 4 games back, 8-2. You can get down to two games.
2.5, I was going to say.
I mean, 8-2 might get you to 2.
I'm learning.
You're going to go 8-2 every 10 games the rest of the year?
Absolutely not.
All right, so there's going to be a 6-4. There's going to be a 5-5. And you might lose a game or two in the standings. Now you're right back to 3.5. You know, it's just, it's hard. There's 7 teams right now, basically in the same area, and you got to jump 5 of them or 4 of them, be that 5th team. I still don't see it.
Good luck.
I'm on the opposite. I think they still have a chance.
All right. There you go.
That's very nice.
I set the bar low.
That's no.
Nice,
friend.
Never be disappointed.
See, look at that. Everything's not rosy with the Red Sox, like people accuse me, right? I rip Belichick. I say everything's great with the Red Sox.
You praise Cora.
It's not.
Lou.
I just asked Cora if, like, you know, they regretted not putting Whitlock in rotation. Imagine if I asked Belichick that. How dare you? How dare you ask him if he regrets anything?
You regret going into the season without any coordinators or titles?
How dare you question Bill Belichick?
We'll do its best.
Question the Red Sox with Whitlock, but I guess it's no big deal. All right, Doug Kiatt, Pro Football Focus. Get his take on what he saw down there at Gillette Panthers, day 2 of the joint practice. We'll talk to Doug Kiatt next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.